I'm an advocate of an educated Alaska mining industry, and they fully support the placer miners in their effort to provide a stable, healthy industry for Fairbanks and interior Alaska. If you're looking for value in transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Remember, let's keep our mining industry strong, and when you need a lift around town, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community. Let's work together to keep our mining industry strong. A message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous, friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi, 451-8294. That's 451-TAXI. And by the way, tell them you heard of their support for the industry from Jim on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails, coming up next right after Johnny Holiday.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Trumbull for Johnny Holiday, reporting on sports. The NCAA basketball tournament at 64 teams is bound to produce some mismatches. For instance, a game today in the West Regional, as we hear from Liz Shanoff.
Number one seed Arizona just stomped on Cornell 90-50. The Wildcats scored the first 9 points to open the game and coasted from there. Cornell simply could not stop Arizona's big men, Anthony Cook and Tom Tolbert, inside. The bad news for Arizona, Tolbert sprained his back in the first half. Final score, Arizona 90, Cornell 50.
Seton Hall and Texas El Paso are about to get underway in game two in the West. In the East Regional, well, the big story was not so much the teams as the fact that Coach Bobby Knight is out of the tournament. Wayne Norman has the story.
62% first half shooting put Richmond ahead by 6 at halftime. The lead was 10 before Indiana freshman sensation Jay Edwards ignited a second half comeback. Senior guard Rodney Rice drilled a 16-footer to put Richmond on top with 50 seconds left, 70-69, and they win it 72-69.
Indiana has been struggling all season, and today's loss was no great surprise. Earlier, Georgia Tech took Iowa State 90-78. Now we go to the Southeast Regional, and this report from Mark Durbin.
Hamilton and Glenn Blackwell combined for 38 points as heavily favored Illinois top Texas San Antonio 81-72. The Fighting Illini led by as many as 14 points while improving their record to 23-9 and will face Villanova in the second round of the Southeast Regionals. Again, the final, it was Illinois 81, Texas San Antonio 72.
Villanova beat Arkansas 82-74 in an earlier game to advance against Illinois. In the Midwest Regional, Pitt beat Eastern Michigan by a 108-90 score. Pitt will take on the winner of the Vanderbilt-Utah State game. San Francisco 49ers coach Bill Walsh has signed a two-year contract extension, but will just be the coach in the future. He has relinquished his team president position to owner Ed DeBartolo Jr. The 49ers said DeBartolo will increase his activities throughout the organization. Walsh led the 49ers to Super Bowl titles in 81 and 84. Larry Bird and Michael Jordan go at it tonight when the Boston Celtics play in Chicago. And Yankee slugger Jack Clark is out for at least 3 weeks with a pulled tendon. He pulled it when he was trotting around the bases after hitting a home run. Clark was picked up in the offseason as a free agent from the Cardinals. For the ABC Information Network and for Johnny Holiday, I'm Maury Trumbull.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska, Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska. We're going to begin with a fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. But most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. We would especially like to hear from some of you early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Well, let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. just got to tell you about one of my friends, folks. When you think about jewelry, you think about quality and, of course, that aesthetic style of beauty. And when you want quality, you always think about Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality, whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person. Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer a full jewelry and goldsmithing service. That means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot and in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystal that's sure, with time, to become a family treasure. And for a special gift that will long be remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving service. But listen, folks, Larson's is more than a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. For your safety and peace of mind, Larson's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember, Larson's can, located at 4th and Noble. Open 9 to 6 weekdays, 9 to 5 Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. Folks, we've got a great show lined up for you today. In just a few minutes, we're going to meet our special guest, Steve Weber, who is a well-known placer miner from the Circle Mining District. But before launching into the thick of the program, let's do what we do to give away dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe. And that, of course, is our Frontier Quiz. Now, the first person to call us at 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and give us the correct answer to our question, will win a $20 dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, located across from the Daily News Miner. Now, listen close, folks. We have a great sponsor here on Alaska Gold Trails. And what we want to know about this sponsor is who they are, what they do, and where they are located, and perhaps the directions to their place of business. Their phone number is 456-6156. Once again, listen closely. We want to know who they are, what they do, and where they are located. The first person that will call us here with that information will win a dinner for two worth $20 at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe. Our number here, once again, is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And while we're waiting for your calls, let's talk about another friend. Oxford Assaying and Refining. You know, it's getting about that time of year when the miners are getting ready to sell a little gold so that they can pay for their fuel and other needs for transporting their equipment to the site where they're going to be mining. And where do the miners sell their gold? Well, everyone knows they sell it to the precious metals people. Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas. These include sending silver. Listen to this, folks. The silver Alaska coin and the Oxford Alaska bar. These 1 ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family for under $10 each. And here's a super idea. 1 ounce pure silver rounds priced at 95 cents over the daily quote. And you know how to get the daily quote, don't you? You better keep this number in mind. It's 452-7858. That's Oxford's daily quote line. Also, they have the 1987 American Gold Eagles, now available with four sizes to choose from, starting at $65 for the 1/10 ounce coin. Add a 14 karat gold bezel with a chain, and you have the perfect gift for that someone special. Gold coins and ingots from around the world, available in all sizes, starting at $25 a piece. And don't forget, genuine Alaska gold nuggets are truly the Alaskan gift. Stop by and view their fine selection, starting at just $28.50 a pennyweight. Give gifts of lasting value that will long be remembered. Give gold and silver, now available from your precious metals people, Oxford Assaying and Refining, 208 Wendell Street. Their number is 456-3967. And folks, we've got the lines lit up on our Frontier quiz, so let's see what we've got here. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
Thank you.
And the question was, who is located at 456-6156? Who are they?
Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair.
Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. What do they do over there at Gabe's?
Well, I guess they must fix trucks and autos.
Absolutely.
You're kind of giving away, huh?
That was a tough one. Yeah. By the way, tell us where are they located?
Well, they're out there on Metro Field off of Van Horn.
Yeah, do you have any idea? How would you get there?
Well, I don't know the name of the road, but I just look for the sign when you're going down Van Horn. And
yeah,
if you're going from Cushman, go down Van Horn and until you see the sign, hook a left.
And hook a left.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how far off that little road are? There's a big sign there, is there?
It says, as I remember, there's a big sign there.
Yeah, and what happens if you're coming, let's say if you're coming from College Road and University there at University Safeway coming down...
Oh, you mean airport?
Airport and University. Excuse me. Airport and University there.
Okay, well, if you're on University heading towards town,
okay,
take a right at Pager.
Okay.
Which is the second stoplight.
Yeah.
Go down Pager, across the new highway where there's electric light.
Yeah.
Go up on another half to three quarters of a mile, I guess, and take a left on Van Horn. So you'd be heading east.
Hey, I think you got it.
Yeah, then you're down, maybe...
Half mile?
Oh, I think farther than that, probably closer to a mile.
Yeah?
Turn right.
And you'll see their big building there.
You ought to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you got it.
Okay.
Hey, did they tell you anything else? You know what kind of specials they got going on over there?
No.
Huh? They got an IM inspection for $25,
well,
reduced price,
that.
Just till the end of this month. So,
yeah.
And remember this about Gabe's, you know, if you don't pass, you don't pay.
That's a deal.
That's a deal.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
$25 reduced price at the end of the month, and if you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Hey, what's your name?
My name's Fred Johnson.
Fred Johnson, you've just won yourself a $20 dinner for two at Laura's. How about that?
That's great. I think I'll treat my wife.
Fred, why don't you drop up here at KFAR Studio here in Washington Plaza off of Airport. Pick up your certificate for that dinner for two, and thanks a bunch for calling, huh?
Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good weekend.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You already found the answer.
What was it?
Gabe's. Truck and Auto.
Gabe's Truck and Auto.
The only place to go for IM station testing.
Oh, my goodness. You're an advocate of Gabe's. Is that right? Have you been there?
No, to tell the truth, it's just this year that we're going to have a car that will have to be tested. So it's nice to know they're there.
Yeah. And by the way, and you heard the... We mentioned that right at the moment they're having a special on IM inspections at $25, a reduced price.
Yeah.
Hey, and thanks for the call. What's your name?
Lori.
Lori, why don't you stop over to Alaskan Prospectors and pick up a free piece of Alaska placer gold, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Lori.
Bye-bye.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, did you ever get a winner?
Oh, I got a winner. What was the answer?
Gabe's Truck and Auto.
Hey, you're right. Why don't you stop over to Alaskan Prospectors and pick up a free piece of Alaska Placer Gold?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Last call. Oh. Well, that just about concludes the Frontier Quiz for today. And before we get into visiting with our guest, I'd like to talk a little bit, just for 1 minute, about the calendar of events. As many of you know, the 10th Annual Conference on Alaska Placer Mining will be coming up March 22nd through the 26th, in which we'll have a wide variety of in-state and international speakers presenting papers. We'll have technical sessions, case history sessions on placer mining. We're going to have exhibits and a trade show. It's going to be great fun, lots of information. And, of course, Alaska Women in Mining are going to be presenting their Miner's Ball. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that in just a few minutes from Steve Weber, who is the conference chairman. And another bit of information that you might like to know about is that the University of Alaska Mining Extension Program will be beginning their rock and mineral identification class, which is open to the public, on March 21st. That's Monday evening at 7 o'clock. If you want to register for that class, I understand today is a holiday and the university is shut down. However, you can register today and tomorrow to prevent paying late charges for the rock and mineral identification class at Alaskan Prospectors, located at 504 College Road. And you can give them a call at, or you can give me a call at 456-2569, and they'll be happy to give you information on that. Also, happening at the same time is the basic prospecting class, and that's a fun class, perhaps one of the finest public service classes offered by the Mining Extension Program. And I think my guest today took that class from me several years ago, and now he's a millionaire. So if you want to get involved in that particular class, give us a call at 456-2569. Folks, I think that about winds it up. But one other little bit of information. On May 13th and the 20th, and you better jot this down, we're going to have a little three-day gold prospecting class just right for those people who are interested in gold, learning how to gold prospecting, maybe visit a placer mine, and get acquainted with the Alaskan mining industry. So those things are on the agenda, and I'll tell you what, let's meet our guest, Steve Weber, who is a well-known miner from the Circle Mining District. Hello, Steve. How are you? And welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
Well, hello, Jim. Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Well, Steve, it's nice to have you here, and I know you're very active in the placer mining industry here in the state of Alaska. And I want to ask you a few questions about your background. You're not originally from Alaska, are you?
No, I originally came from Seattle. And I'd like to clarify, I wish I had gotten rich off of taking your basic prospecting class, but that hasn't happened yet. Maybe sometime soon.
Are you working on it, Steve?
Yes, very hard working on it.
Oh, well, I give a little bit of misinformation there, but you're working on it, right?
Yes.
Okay. At least you're using the information you gathered there.
There you go.
Well, Steve, where did you come from then?
I was born and raised in Seattle.
And when did you come to Alaska?
In 75, I wandered up this way.
In 1975. What was it that attracted you about Alaska? Was it a job, or what was it?
No, it was mainly the idea that it was a place I'd never been to and wanted to know more about it. I was fresh out of school and was kind of on an exploring sort of idea.
Uh-huh. And did you, in your exploring kind of idea, what did you, it was an adventure then?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And did you have some inkling of what Alaska was all about, or was it just an adventure into the unknown?
Yeah, pretty much an unknown. I was basically very naive about Alaska, and I came up in the fall, the late fall, and so I got a real quick awakening as to Alaska, or Fairbanks in particular, cold winter weathers, and a quick learning process from that point forward.
And where did you go first? Where was the,
I came from Seattle and basically answered an ad for a job that was being advertised in Tok Junction, which is a few miles south of Fairbanks here. And I was a mechanic and came up here mechanicking in Tok. And from there, kind of wandered around Fairbanks and Anchorage, and then continuing working in as a mechanic and then out of operators, and worked up north some and on the line, and did that mostly till about 79.
Oh, you did. Say, Steve, I think that you've got a call here. Let's see what we have here.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, what I'd like to know, do you tape your program?
Yes, I do.
Is it possible to get a tape of it?
Of this show?
Not of your show, but of a particular day.
Sure. And why don't you contact me at the university at
474-7702.
Yes, and if I'm not there, give Sharon, my secretary, your name, and tell us what date that you would like the tape of, and we'll try to make arrangements to get that to you.
Okay, I'd appreciate it. Is there a charge?
Oh, no. I don't even consider it.
It's the tape that where you had my sister on. That's why.
Who was that?
Mary Hansen.
Oh, sure.
And I don't know the exact date, but I think it was exactly 2 weeks ago.
Exactly 2 weeks ago. And by the way, Mary will be back with us on the 8th.
On the 8th?
Of April, yes.
Yeah, you see, the relatives outside would like to hear the tape.
Oh, you bet.
She'll be back the 8th.
Yes.
All right, thank
sure.
you.
Give us a call up there, and we'll make arrangements to get a tape to you. And by the way, we'll also have one for Mary. I've already made one for Mary, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks
very
for the call.
Much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Where were we, Steve? We were at 1979, if I'm correct. And you had come up from Seattle. You had been down in Anchorage working for a time after your short experience in Tok. What was Alaska like? Did it strike you as a fascinating wilderness? What was the impact of Alaska when you arrived into the area?
Yeah, the wilderness. I had grown up and spent a lot of time out in the wilderness, hiking and camping and skiing. So Alaska fit right into that. I enjoyed the wide open spaces, and I enjoyed the ability not to have suburbia everywhere you went. And that's what attracted me to it after I got up here and really kind of got into my being and made me like the place.
Mm-hmm. And you went to work on the pipeline, is that or affiliated?
Yeah, the pipeline and up at Prudhoe. Spent a lot of time up there, I think, as a lot of people did through that period.
Mm-hmm.
And got educated to the world of big construction projects real quick and likened that to something along the line of government or military, and kind of did a lot of little things for a while, and ventured into mining through my future father-in-law. He wasn't my father-in-law at the time, but he was running a placer mine up in the Circle Mining District, and asked if I'd come up and be an operator mechanic on the equipment at the same time.
And just specifically, what did you do being an operator and a mechanic? Ran a Cat or?
Yeah, ran a D8. He had a D8 and a 966 Cat loader, and then a John Deere 644 loader, which is a 3-yard loader.
Okay, and tell us about those pieces of equipment. How did they operate? Did you have a sluice box? Is that it? That you ran gravel in?
Yeah, it was what we refer to as a three-channel sluice box, where there was no classification before in the feed end. Everything was pushed in or fed in with the loader and was run through the box.
Mm-hmm.
There's classification.
It went onto a slick plate, is that it?
Onto a slick plate, into the main center channel of the box where there was punch plate and is classified to the side trays.
I see.
And the low-velocity side trays where the majority of the fine gold is captured.
Okay, just the fine components of the gravel then spread to the side channels.
That's correct,
And the coarse material went down the center box?
That's right, with Hungarian open riffles down the center for the nuggets and the plus half inch, I think, or three-quarter inch was the screen size.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty, at that time, that was in 80, that was a pretty typical or maybe even on the advanced stage of a sluicing setup. There wasn't a lot of screening or pre-screening before the sluicing operation back then, or at least in our area.
That was your first year in experience?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's where you gained the experience.
Yeah.
Did you continue working there or what?
No, I worked there that 1 year and decided that it was kind of like, boy, I found what I wanted to do. This was it. And I still remember that I have never been so motivated to head in a particular direction as when I had first experienced mining. So that during that summer, we did a little looking around at property on Deadwood and in the Circle Mining District, and went in on a lease on some ground just up creek from where we were at there on Deadwood Creek still, and felt it was pretty safe. We were mining the claims just below that, and the claims above had been worked in the early part of the century, so it wasn't a totally unproven sort of venture. And then the next year went in with our operation of our own.
Steve, what I want to ask you here is, you were relatively young during this period of time. You came up right after high school from the Seattle area.
That's right.
You hadn't experienced anything like Alaska before in your life. When we come back after a short break, I want to find out some information regarding your background in mining prior to the time that you went to work for your father-in-law. So we'll be right back with that question in just a few minutes. Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet may seem like an easygoing guy, but when he saw the all-new 1988 Chevrolet pickups, he really went overboard. He couldn't stop himself from stocking up on so many models. He's positive that if you can't find exactly what you want in a truck at Tip Top, it just doesn't exist. Why did a normally sane fellow like Robbie go so out of control? Well, you'll just have to take a look at the all-new 1988 full-size pickups at Tip Top and see for yourself. Maybe it was the all-new, sturdier-than-ever boxed front frame, or the new aerodynamic styling with smooth lines and rounded contours to reduce wind drag. Or perhaps it was the high-tech computer-engineered efficiency for all types of payloads. How about the large, easy-access doors, 8-layered finish, the all-welded box, or the big, comfortable cab? Who wouldn't flip over the all-new extended cab pickup, a new feature for Chevrolet trucks? These pickups seat up to 6 people. You like four-wheel drive? Robbie's got the 4x4 Chevy with a shift-on-the-fly power to all 4 wheels instantly. But as much as Robbie loves all his new Chevrolet pickups, he just can't use them all himself. So he's doing the only sane thing. He's selling them to anyone who can come up with an offer that can stand up to the light of day. So come in today to Tip Top Chevrolet and see all the models Robbie has to show you, from the economical Cheyenne to the bold new Scottsdale and the top-of-the-line Silverado. Pick your pickup and chassis cab to suit your particular needs. You won't find a better selection anywhere than you find at Tip Top Chevrolet. You'll see for yourself what got Robbie so excited when you look at the wide variety of all-new 1988 Chevrolet pickups. Stop by Tip Top Chevrolet today for the best deals on the best new pickups around. That's Tip Top Chevrolet at 1916 Cushman. Or give them a call at 452-8211. And remember, folks, for safety's sake, buckle up with Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet. Oh, I've got some good friends over there on Alta Way. You know who they are? They're Robert, Charlene, and James Johnson, who own and operate a family business right here in Fairbanks, and it's called Arctic Springs. And as I said, folks, they're located at 285 Alta Way. They started manufacturing leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago. Because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant in Fairbanks, they became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan products and labor. To give you an example of what they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant, listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, even aircraft. Springs can be re-arched and U-bolts cold bent to your specifications, and they can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Springs handles both standard and custom-made coil springs. In addition, look at some of the other items they stock. A complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings. Torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and weasels. Finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or sketch. In addition, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating. Folks, contact Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson over there at Arctic Springs at 285 Alta Way, or give them a call at 451-8612 and tell them you heard of their support for the industry here on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim. Steve, one of the questions that I have is, how much background on placer mining did you have prior to coming to Alaska?
No placer mining experience, and I think that's probably the beauty of placer mining. It's a kind of a melting pot of a lot of different skills. there's so much equipment involved and gravel moving involved and fabrication and designing involved that to be a placer mining specialist, it requires knowledge of several different areas and several different things.
And did you even know during the time that you were working up on the North Slope that placer mining was, that there was such a thing as placer mining during those years?
No. Yeah, that, in retrospect and looking back at that, it's interesting to me that before I got into mining, I didn't know that there was any active mining going on still. I knew of no one that was involved in mining, which isn't to say anything other than that I just wasn't around those type of people. Of course, I was aware of the gold rush and all that, but to my knowledge at that time, I figured gold mining was all done. So it's interesting then that a sudden break from one to the other.
So it was quite a shock for you to learn that mining was still in existence in the far north, is that right?
Yeah. Well, it was a pleasant surprise. It was a new thing. I like
that. Uh-huh. And so then in about 1980, you went into business placer mining yourself after a year of experience with your father-in-law.
Yeah, 81 was our first season, our own mm-hmm. season on our own.
Well, I want to get back with you on that particular aspect of your life. Well, one other question before we leave here, Steve. How did you first start your mining operation?
It was when you say seat of your pants, that was definitely us, seat of your pants. We had very limited capital, and so the things we couldn't build, of course, is where that capital went. We leased we leased a D8 and a 3-yard John Deere loader, and then built our own sluice, and which has since then gone through considerable renovations, and kind of took off and just hoped to make our operating expenses out of the ground.
Did you succeed in making your operating expenses out of the ground?
Yeah, first year, I think we probably, there was a lot of luck involved.
Tell us, did you rob the sluice box every day to to keep?
No, we kind of let the bills pile up and hoped that we could catch on to that.
I want to talk more about your operation, Steve, in just a few minutes. Right now, I want to talk to a friend of ours who is affiliated with the mining community, and he's a longtime supporter, and that, of course, is Bernie Carl from K&K Recycling. Hello, Bernie. Are you there?
You bet.
How you doing today?
Just fine, sir. And yourself, Jim?
Real good. Bernie, tell us about K&K.
Well, as you know, we're starting our fourth year in our new mining venture, and that's resource recovery through recycling, and we're presently the state's largest recycler, and we feel that we're continuing the mining efforts. I believe we have the only bauxite, iron, chrome, titanium, copper mine in the state as it's actively running. And we would like to think that we're doing our part as far as mining goes for all these different minerals.
Well, you better explain to the people, Bernie, just how you mine aluminum and all those different minerals in Alaska. Tell us how it works.
Well, as you know, at K&K, we buy all these materials from the customers. They can bring their material in here, and we buy it, and we process it, and put it into export shipments. By an export shipment, I mean that it either goes to the United States and we import money back into the community here, or we export it overseas to Taiwan. Now, what happens, we have year contracts with Alaska Pipeline, the military, Sohio, and we buy their salvage a year at a time, and all this material was destined to be buried. We recycled 1,000 loads last year off the North Slope, and this material was being buried in the landfill there. We bring it in, and we source, separate it, by the different elements that are in it. If it's stainless steel, we test it to see if it's chrome stainless or if it's moly stainless, and we ship it to a prospective market. The same with the different types of iron, and we source separate that and then ship it to its according market. I don't know if you're familiar, but as you know, K&K Recycling is a partner. Myself and Barney Koff started Environmental Recycling, which is another mining company that's recycling municipal waste here in the community. And we feel that that's just another extension of mining. And again, we're source separating out all the different minerals and elements out of municipal waste and sending it to market.
Bernie, we've heard a lot in the industry. We've heard a lot of good things about what you've been doing. You're closely related to mining. You were a miner in the Circle Mining District for a number of years, and you went into this business. But I've also heard some interesting information from friends of yours and friends of mine that you've been over to China and you've been down to Juneau. You've been giving information at the schools explaining what recycling was all about and promoting the sale of Alaska metals around the state and out of the state. And a lot of people have expressed how pleased they were that somebody has taken the initiative to go forward with this recycling program. And I just wanted you to know that the people of Fairbanks are pleased with your effort.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that very much, Jim.
And where are you located, Bernie?
Well, presently, K&K is located at 8.5 mile Old Richardson, and that's just off of Badger Road. And Environmental Recycling is located at the Borough Landfill.
All right, Bernie. Let me ask you one question. Let's say I have I have an old car in my backyard and I want to get rid of it. Can you help me?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to start a program here this summer where we hope to come out and actually pick the cars up. Presently, the cars have to be delivered to us. As you know, the borough had a used car program where they would come and pick the cars up. With the budget crunch that's on, that had been discontinued a couple years ago. We hope to get that activated again at no additional cost to the borough. If we're going to be discussing that with the borough here in the next few weeks, and we're going to see if we can reactivate that, because there seems to be a real need for it. There seems to be a lot of miscellaneous junk vehicles in the community. And as you know, last year we shipped 3,000 ton of automobiles out of the community in just a little over a month. And we would like to continue that service. And we would like to see what we can do to make it a little easier on the public.
Well, Bernie, thank you very much, and I want to let the folks know that they can come over and see you or contact you by phoning you at 488-1409, and if they'd like to have estimates on any kinds of metals that you buy, they can get that information by simply calling that number. Once again, it's 488-1409, and thank you, Bernie Carl. We'll see you later, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
Before we get back to Steve Weber, who is our guest here on Alaska Gold Trails, we'd like to send you a little message from Bill and LaVon. And Bill and LaVon are back in town. B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, I've said this many, many times, that is an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pond, 605 Gaffney. That's 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, ask Killer. You just never know. That's B&L Pond, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. 452-6491 is their number. They're open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. Well, Steve, we're back to Deadwood Creek and your activities up there and the initiation of your plant. Tell us, how did you start there? Was you started and you said it was pretty slim pickings for the first year, but you got it off the ground, and tell us what happened after that.
I think with any business, it starts out slow and has to grow, and that was us also. You get, we had something going against us, and a lot of it was new to us, so we were learning as we were trying to continue supporting the business, and it, like with other businesses, it has gotten easier as some of the debt load is paid off and as we get a little more accustomed to the correct procedure to do things and ways to do things. So
you recently you received one of the grants from the state of Alaska. Tell us about that grant program and exactly what you did.
We were involved in that. I believe it came out at the end of 84 that the state had set aside some money for what they call the Placer Mining Demonstration Grant Program, which was aimed at cultivating some innovative ideas from the local industry as to ways to help some of the problems that were facing it, the water treatment and the fine gold recovery. We submitted an application for a plan to build a plant, and was awarded a grant from both DEC and DNR to build that plant, which came online in 86 and utilizes jigs for recovery, three stages of jigs, and then for the water treatment we used two stages of hydrocyclones, which the hydrocyclone separates the solids from the water, thereby enabling the water to be recycled back into the plant. It was a far cry and a large step from a sluice box, and the last couple of years have been a matter of shaking it down and working out all the problems and getting used to a much more complicated and technological sort of recovery system and treatment system than what was previously used. But it's working well now, and a lot of the bugs are taken out. It's gotten kind of like a normal run-of-the-mill operating now.
Did the people from the state and federal agencies come and see you or on the plant, and were they satisfied?
Yeah, being a state-sponsored program, we were obligated to provide very intensive testing and had to actually apply the program for the testing, both recovery-wise and water quality-wise, and that was, they were out pretty continuously for the first year and a half. Mm-hmm. Inspecting and making sure things were going well, and then there was a final report put together.
Were they satisfied with that?
Yeah, yeah,
they were. Well, real good. By the way, one quick question here: was your fine gold recovery improved?
Yes, considerably.
Using the jigs, and your water quality problems were pretty well satisfied.
Yes, it made it easier to come close to the requirement.
You know, I know, Steve, that you've been very active. You were president of the Circle Mining District, and you're also now the chairman of the Alaska Placer Mining Conference, which will be coming up next week. And right after this message, I want to hear a lot about that conference. Hardworking miners need hardworking equipment. You'll get the equipment and service you need at George's Saw Shop, 520 Church Street, in the historical Rose Building, right next door to the News Miner. Space heater repairs done, all types and sizes and all brands, such as Champion, Coring, Master Heater, and others, and a complete line of parts in stock. Also, Georgia Saw Shop repairs gas and diesel generators. Need parts for an engine? Georgia Saw Shop has a complete line of parts for Briggs & Stratton, Tecumseh, Wisconsin, Kohler, and others. Georgia Saw Shop also sells replacement engines for all of the above. Chainsaws, George says, we sell the best and service the rest. That's Georgia Saw Shop. Get a Husqvarna, Solo, or Poulan. Chainsaw service? You bet. Bring in your chainsaw for a tune-up and cleaning, complete repair, and or sharpening of the chain. Georgia Saw Shop services and carries parts for all brands. For top quality service and equipment, visit the business you can depend on. Visit Georgia Saw Shop on Illinois Street, next door to the News Miner in the beautiful historic Rose Building. They're open 8:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 9 to 1 on Saturday. You have questions, just call 452-2069 and ask for George or his lovely wife and partner, Barbara. That's 452-2069. And now a quick message, my friends, from Alaska Prospectors. Alaskan Prospectors, located at 504 College Road, has in stock a complete line of crystals and minerals from around the world. All new stock, beautiful crystals. They have a complete new stock of recreational and gold mining equipment, including pans, sluices, and suction dredges. And of course, the famous Garrett Goldhound metal detectors are now available. That's at Alaskan Prospectors, 504 College Road. You'd like to give them a call? Their number is 452-7398. They also have in stock gold concentrators, and of course, for the hobbyist, rock saws and polishers. One other fine sponsor of Alaska Gold Trails, of course, is Hector's Welding. Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, has been serving Alaska for many, many years. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. Listen to this list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. And mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plate. They have portable welding units for fast on-site repairs. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you. Bring out your ideas and blueprints. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Rust jobs are no problem. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now, an all-new service, Flocculence. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit available for you plaster miners. All you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. And remember, folks, it's free. Wherever Alaska's miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Give them a call over there at 488-6439 and tell them you heard about them from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails. Steve, tell us about the upcoming Placer Mining Conference. What you got going there?
Okay, we're really excited about this year. The theme this year is called Mining Something for Everyone, which is a reality if there ever was one. It runs the 22nd of March through the 26th, which is next week.
That's a good date for everybody out there to remember. It's the 22nd to the 26th?
That's correct, at Alaskaland.
March 22nd to March 26th. This could be worth something to you, folks. So listen. What are the dates of that conference? Better write them down. Something's coming up.
March 22nd to the 26th at Alaskaland. It's going to begin with 2 days. Tuesday and Wednesday is what we call a pre-conference short course. It's going to be on heap leaching in Alaska concerning cold climates, which isn't placer mining, but it certainly is mining. And this is sponsored by the state and DEC and DNR and Department of Commerce and Economic Development. A lot of new topics and new ideas. On Thursday is when the actual placer mining conference starts. And I'll read some of the sessions and give you kind of an overview of what's going to be happening. We have the first session on Thursday is going to be a kind of tailored to the the small scale, the recreational, the person that's really not in mining yet, but is kind of curious as to what it would take or if it's even possible to go out and play around for a summer and economically come out of it ahead. And it's kind of a new idea for the conference, and we're hoping that that will interest a lot of the people that are out in the community that aren't actually miners. We have a session on the deposition of gold and the different ways that gold is put where it's put, where we can find it, where we find it. Very interesting topics there, from marine to creek placers and alluvial and eluvial. We've got some technical speaking being done on Friday on both recovery and gold recovery techniques, and also water treatment, which is really at the highlight of the miners' concern these days, is how to be able to comply. So there's several different ideas being presented as to ways to come closer to meeting the current regulations. We have a real good overview of the industries, not only in Alaska, but in Canada. And we've got a gentleman coming up from Idaho that's going to talk about mining in Idaho. And there's been a lot of interest lately in Canada, and so this will answer some of those questions. And also we have some overviews of some of the larger operations in the state, the Bema Dredge out in Nome and Valdez Creek down south of town here. We ended up on Saturday with what we call an agency session, which is a representative from each of the regulatory agencies concerning mining are asked to come and give an overview of what they have got going concerning mining, and then it's open for questions and answers.
This is where the people from the mining community and just the community in general can get a lot of their questions answered, isn't it?
Yes.
This is open to the public.
This is open to the public.
No fee. Right?
No fee for the Saturday sessions. That's correct. And if there's a question as to what it would take to permit an operation or if a permit is needed, this is the time to come and do this. Also on Saturday morning, we have the university going to give a talk on what they have going at the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory. A lot of interesting things going on. And also along the Saturday morning session is the DGGS is going to be talking, and also the AMREF, the schools program.
What's happening Saturday night, Steve?
Saturday night is the Gold Diggers Ball, which is a lot of fun. The Monte Carlo Ball, there's gaming, and a lot of fun things. So I hope to see everybody right there at that
ball. How about two tickets for somebody that'll call us right now? Two tickets that'll call us to the Monte Carlo Ball. You'll win two tickets to the Monte Carlo Ball if you call us at 479-8255. That's 479-8255. And tell us the date of the conference. First call. Two tickets to the Monte Carlo Ball. What they're going to do is have dancing. They're going to have gambling. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if that's legal to say. They're going to have a little fun gambling. And we got a call right now. Tell us, what is the answer?
26th.
The 26th through when? I mean, when through the 26th?
Oh, through Monday.
Oh, no. Sorry, partner. You're a little off. We're running out of time. Hello, you're on the air. Do you have an answer for us?
Yes, 22nd of March through the 26th of March.
What's your name, sir?
Jim.
Jim who?
Jim Geyer.
Stop up here and get your free tickets Monday, Jim. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Steve, thanks for joining us here on Alaska Gold Trails. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, we've come to the end of another Alaska Gold Trails show, folks. I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank the folks who have played in our quizzes. And I would like to let you know that I'll be here next week on Friday afternoon.